Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
I want to always just kind of let you know, if I ever have the opportunity, we're so grateful that I get to be a part of your church family at the Heights. And we came 16 years ago, and I came to be here for 2 weeks to fill in, and we never left. And it's been a long fill-in gig. It has been such a long 2 weeks. But anyway, we are so grateful that we got to get to be a part of it. And every time I get to do this, I also am just grateful for Mike, for the hours of prep he puts in every single week. And the pressure that is of wanting to bring something, and not because you want to look good in front of people, because you don't want to necessarily let God down. You don't want to, I mean, that'd be a bad deal, but you want to make sure the word goes forth. And so there's a pressure there. And so, Mike, thank you for dealing with that every week and allowing God to empower you and encourage my family and investing in us. And so always grateful to do that. I'm in a good spot when I do this because I am I'm the backup quarterback. In fact, I am seventh string quarterback as far as getting to speak on stage. We have Mike, our Tom Brady, all the things that go along with that, old, married to a beautiful woman, you know, all these things. And then we have Joy and Brandon, who are just these gifted folks that get to come and do this and are amazing. And then we have Randy, that's just so good. He's Coach Bunyard, gets to come and do this. And then we have, I mean, if it gets real, real desperate, we throw Doug and Marcus a bone, let them get up here. And that's only if it's desperate. And then there's me, seventh string. I mean, this is past the point of desperation. But what I love about it is I have nothing to lose. Like, what are they going to do? Now let me come back next week? Well, I could do this once every couple years. So this is great. Like, this is perfect. So I'm in a place where I can't lose. I am excited about that. Today we're going to do something where we talk a lot about Re-Engage, which is our marriage ministry here at the Heights. And something that I want to do is I want to give a plug for it for sure, and I want to do a commercial for it, but also just want to talk about things in the gospel that we need to hear, and things that maybe if you're a single person or a divorced person, or you're not looking to be married, or you've been married and don't want to do it again, and this is like, oh, this is irrelevant. I want you to hear some of God's truth today, and I've prayed that for us, that no matter what we talk about, even if it's in the context of marriage today, that you wouldn't see it as in the context of marriage, because what we're really doing is talking about God's word and just letting his word go forth. And so I'll tell you a little bit about Re-Engage, and we'll talk some truth, and then we'll invite a group of people who are part of our Re-Engage leadership to come up and answer some questions. And we're trying to recruit you for Re-Engage is what we're doing. So just being very, very transparent with you. So where did Re-Engage come from? Well, it's our primary marriage ministry here at the Heights. And not to say that we don't have marriage ministry within our life groups, because we absolutely do. We have some great things going there. This is just a time when we dedicated. This is specifically for marriage. And so it's our primary here. It's from Watermark Church, which Watermark started doing it in about 2008. And we started it about 5 years ago, kind of picked it up from them. Now, what I love about Re-Engage and the reason that we ended up picking this particular curriculum or program or whatever you want to call it, I'd done a lot of different marriage training, and some of them really good. And then I even thought, I'm going to write my own deal. And so I, a few years ago, did one that I'd kind of worked on and written, and it was okay. But what I was really disappointed with was a couple things, and I found some blind spots in myself. I found, number one, it didn't create a lot of the community and discipleship that I really intended it to do. And then second, I didn't feel like it let the gospel lead. And what I liked about Watermark's program is they let the gospel lead the conversation, not marriage lead the conversation. And that's a really important difference, because what I need to tell you today is that if you're a married person out there, that the thing that, you know, if you had a better marriage, that'd be great, right? But that's not the thing you need most. The thing you need very most is a closer walk with Christ. If you have a closer walk with Christ, there's going to be an overflow of, you're going to be a faster forgiver. The truth is if you're in a relationship with Christ and you have a very good idea of your sin and what he's done for you, it's going to be harder to hold that against somebody, even your spouse, which is there an easy target, right? But it's going to be harder to hold that. So it's going to make you a better marriage partner. When you read about Christ and hear about the gospel, you should be able to love more quickly. You should be encouraged to be angry slower, to love more quickly, and to forgive faster. And if we can get you into those three things because of what the gospel does, hey, we've already fixed most of marriage, right? So the truth about Watermark's curriculum about this Reengage is it's really marriage becomes a vehicle for the gospel. And that's what we're trying to do is create disciples. Not necessarily at the end of the day you having a better marriage, but being a better disciple maker. And why is that important to us? Well, it's important to us because Matthew 28:19 didn't say, hey, go, therefore go and live your best life now with a big happy marriage. It didn't say that. It didn't say, hey, therefore go and make your family really comfortable, which is one of our idols here in the Bible Belt. We want to come to church, but really it's all about how do we make our family most comfortable in life. That becomes an idol for us. It didn't say that. It didn't say, therefore go and make yourself more money so you feel secure. What Matthew 28, the Great Commission, says is therefore go and make disciples. And so that's what our goal for Reengage is really it's a discipleship ministry with the veil or the disguise of a marriage ministry. And really, we measure success through four elements of discipleship. One of those, our first measure of success is, do we feel like at the end of Reengage, your walk with Christ is better and maybe more authentic or at least given some life? Did we revitalize your walk with Christ? That's the first C. Second, the circle. Did it help you become introspective and look at yourself instead of look at everyone else? And so imagine there's a hula hoop here and I take it and I throw it around me. In Reengage, we say stay in your circle all the time. And what that means is let's talk about what this scripture says about you, not what it says about your spouse. And that's hard to do because a lot of times I don't know if you've been married long, you find your spouse is just an easy target to blame for everything, right? You're having a hard day, you're like, oh my gosh. Last night, I'll just be very transparent with you here. Last night, it gets to be about 7, we hadn't made dinner plans. And I'm thinking, my wife says, what are we going to eat? Well, I don't know, why are we not making dinner plans? Well, I'll just go get something. In my robe, I'll talk about my robe in a minute. I've got this special robe I wear now. I took off to Chick-fil-A and I got that and I came back and I said, next week we're going to have our dinner plans laid out because it was her fault we didn't have dinner plans at 7. I don't know where in the world that came from. But it's easy to blame our spouse, isn't it? What Reengage talks about is your circle. And what I mean by your circle is the log in your eye. Let's focus on the sin in your life, the log in your eye, not the speck in your neighbor's or your spouse's eye. And so are you more introspective? Are you more aware of your sin and your relationship with Christ? Are you still trying to judge what your spouse is doing? So we're trying to get you into your own circle. Commitment. I like this. It says, ruthlessly. We want you to ruthlessly commit to your marriage. And ruthlessly commit means you're shutting all escape doors. We want you to look at your marriage and say, we're going to shut and close and weld shut every way of escape. We're going to be committed to this. We want to highlight commitment and you to feel more committed to your marriage afterward. And then community. We want you to feel known. We want you to get to know people. And for some of you, man, you're like, hey, my marriage is in fine shape, but this would be just a good chance to get to know some other couples in your church family and walk with them. Maybe they need to hear your testimony. Maybe it's for them that you need to do Reengage. But we want you to have community. We want you to feel known and know you're not all alone. There's lots of places you can do that at the Heights, and so I definitely want to throw out Reengage as one of those options, but maybe Reengage isn't something that pulls you in today. Then please check out life groups. Get involved there. We have Connection that starts tonight. Mike's going to tell you a little bit more about that. Connection is the place where they're going to lay out like all the different ways you can get involved and connected within the Heights Fellowship. And so go to Connect and just see what that feels like and what the different opportunities that might be in front of you. So hard to get involved in a church sometimes, even if you've been there for a long time. And what I want to encourage you be the initiator. You be the one that says, hey, I'm going to be a part of this group. I'm going to try this. And a lot of you say, I've tried this, and I've tried that. Keep trying. Get plugged in. Community is worth it. We want you to feel known and that you're not alone. We want to encourage you. So be active in finding your tribe. It is Reengage is 16 weeks on Sunday nights of gospel-driven small groups with a high degree of intentional transparency. Intentional transparency means that we talk very openly about our struggles and share our testimonies out loud with you. And then a lot of times the people in your group might do that as well. And so we really want to focus that. Now, the truth is vulnerability can become an idol even in a small group. So like just sharing your secrets, that doesn't make you any more holy than the next person. Being comfortable to be dependent on God with whatever's going on, that's what we're going for. We don't want you just to share something and say, okay, good, I was real holy that day. That can actually become an idol for some groups where they share really deep, dark secrets, but they don't do anything about them. We want you to share what's going on in your life, and then let's go to God's word, see what it says about that. Let's wrap our arms around the cross, embrace what he's done there for us, and then let's live a resurrected life from whatever we picked up there. And so we want you to do that. For an engaged couple, re-engage would be perfect, because a lot of times engaged couples, what they'll do, newly married couples, they'll get in a group of early 20s, and they'll all get together, and they'll start to go through a study together. What you have when you have a bunch of newly married people is you have a bunch of idiots in the room together. You know, I don't know. I mean, if you don't have somebody that's been on the pathway a little bit in front of you, it's hard to kind of know what to expect. And so if you've got someone that's maybe been married for 10 years in front of you, that might be a helpful thing. And if you've been married 20 years, you look at that person that's been married 10 years, and you're thinking they're an idiot. They don't even know what's coming. And then if you've been married 40 years, you're looking at all of us and being like, bunch of idiots. They don't even know what's coming. I'm going to challenge you, if you're one of those folks who've been married a real long time, man, we sure could enjoy your help and re-engage. We need you to help lead us. And so we'd love to have you. We do have some folks, they're so old they can't even climb the stairs and get up here, that are going to help lead us this time. But we're trying to gradually get older in our leadership and re-engage, because we want it to be a place where you don't just have people who've been married 25 years. You've got somebody 35, 45, 50 years in that can tell the rest of us what to look out for. Married couples that are wanting to grow your relationship. So maybe you're thinking, well, we're in a pretty good place. You need to check in every once in a while and just kind of get a checkup, right? So for me, I do these New Year's resolutions, and something for me that I did this year, I went back and I had some weight gain, right? Everybody, you know, whatever. That was one of my goals last year, is to lose weight to a certain weight. And I looked and I was like, my goodness, I've gained weight though. And so I went back and I tracked my weight. I'm very goal oriented, so I track everything. And I looked and I gained 12 pounds in between April, March and April. And I was like, what the heck? And I looked at my tracker, and I didn't even know this had happened, but my best friend passed away in March of last year. And so what happens when you go through something hard emotionally or trauma for you, you kind of forget about all the peripheral things. And I also stress eat, all right? I mean, I'm just being honest. And maybe I had a drink or two that I didn't need to be having and introducing those calories into my life. And so I look at those things and I think, you know what? I was able to look back and see this is kind of where, because I had a little checkup through that little tracker, this is where this started. I need to change what happened during that time. I need to go back and get back some of the habits I had previous to that. So it helped me kind of look at and have a checkup basically for myself. Maybe re-engage is a good checkup so you can make sure there's nothing going on that you don't know about. So we'd love for you to come grow with us. And then for married couples who need a fresh start, my goodness, if you're somebody out there that's thinking, we've been on a pathway that's not working for us. We've been in a place where this hasn't been successful, that we're not getting a great element of joy in our life from being married. This is a perfect place for you. Even if you feel like we don't even know if we can salvage this. Oh man, this is, God brought you here to hear this today, because this is a place where you have an opportunity to do that. Plus you have nothing to lose, right? I mean, if you don't think you can salvage it, you're like the backup quarterback. You got nothing to lose. Come on. And then for some of you, you need to come through it just so you can help us teach it, so you can help us invest in others down the road. So why would we do a marriage ministry? Well, I want to talk about a few things that come up with that. As we talk about that, my wife, she is what the Enneagram calls a number six. I don't know if anybody do the Enneagram at all. It's like a personality test. And what the number six does is they're very aware of all dangers around them. They're constantly looking ahead for all the problems. Now, I'm a number three, and I'm constantly looking ahead for opportunities. She's a number six, and she's constantly looking ahead for all the ways that I could wreck our lives, right? And so it works great, because as we're driving, she's letting me know about every problem that's surrounding me. It's a blessing. We'll be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, I'll go, I'm like, what's wrong? No, that truck. I was like, what truck? We just passed it. It almost got us. She is aware of every car on the road, what direction they're coming, what speed. She's very aware of my speed, my driving. She's a problem locator. And so one of the things, as we talked about this message today, she located some problems. And she said, you know what? The problem sometimes with the marriage ministry message or anything about marriage is we're cutting out a whole group of people. So somebody that might be single, that you're like, oh man, this doesn't apply to me today. There's a risk that you might not hear anything that you feel like is important to you, or you might not be listening today. And then there's a risk for somebody that's been divorced and been through that hurt, that they would feel like an automatic maybe feeling of shame and guilt might begin to happen as we talk about marriage. My goodness, I'm here to tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has come to give you life and give it to the full. If you're feeling shame and guilt and you're carrying that on a consistent basis and it's preventing you from relationship with others, from relationship with God, an accurate view of how he looks at you, you don't know my Jesus, okay? Because what my Jesus does is he brings life, even in those things. And so if you're carrying guilt and shame as we talk today about maybe decisions you've made or a previous relationship you were in, let me just tell you, my goodness, I'm here to put the cross on display and talk about what Jesus has done for us. And I want to read this verse to you real quick. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says that godly sorrow, this is a great verse to know, but godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. It's okay. I mean, as a believer, sometimes I do something and the Holy Spirit immediately says, or maybe after a day says, or maybe after someone points it out to me, says, hey, you wronged someone, or you're outside of rhythm with what God says or told you. And I feel a weight about that. As a believer, when I have that weight, I run to the cross. I thank God for the cross of Jesus. I lay that weight down and I repent and I go to those people and I make it better. That's what a believer does when they have the weight of a moment of guilt. It's a godly sorrow. Here's what happens with a sorrow that's not godly. It says, that verse, 2 Corinthians 7:10, finishes out, but worldly sorrow brings death. You see, if you're hearing guilt and shame from our message today because of something that's gone on within your marriage, or a previous relationship, the devil would like nothing more for you to continue to carry that guilt and shame until it isolates you from God's people, until it isolates you from relationship with God, and so he can have you all to himself and ruin your life and take you to death and ruin everything. Let me just tell you, if you're feeling a little shamed or guilty for whatever relationship or previous thing happened, the devil's not done with you. He wants to take you even further into that. Let me give you better hope. Jesus is definitely not done with you. He wants to give you life today. So I pray that you'll hear it through a lens of the gospel and what Christ wants for you. I pray that you hear it through a lens of him being an everlasting father. On the 22nd, I get to come back, and I'm excited about that. If I don't blow it today and get demoted, I get to come back and talk to you once again. And it's going to be about a little bit about marriage, but it's also going to be about the four names of Jesus from Isaiah 9:6. And his names are Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Today, as we talk about marriage, no matter where you've been, what you've done, one of the things I try to communicate to my kids as their father is, baby, no matter what you've done, no matter how dirty it was, no matter how afraid of my anger you're going to be, because I probably might be angry, you get home to me and you get home to me safe and let's talk about it. No matter what it is, you get home, we can figure it out. You're going to be loved. We can figure it out, okay? You get home safe to me. My son had a little fender bender this week, and at the time I got the call, I bought myself a Christmas gift this year. Anybody ever buy yourself a Christmas gift? Like, if you're worried that people aren't going to get it for you, you just go and just buy it. I'm kind of a selfish person, so I'm like, I'm worried that people aren't going to recognize my need for a nice robe in my life. And so I got on Amazon, and I bought myself the most plush, flamboyant robe that you have ever seen. It's got a hood like Rocky, but it doesn't look like a fighter's robe, okay? It looks like the robe of a man who's never lifted his finger in his life. I mean, he hasn't done an ounce of work. It goes from my head to the top of my feet. It covers me. And then my wife bought me some UGG slippers. And I said I'd never wear a pair of UGGs, y'all. I put those slippers on them. Oh. I've worn slippers before, and the problem with the slippers that I buy is they're cheap. And I get them from Walmart, Target. After about 2 weeks, they start smelling like nacho cheese Doritos. I think because they're cheap slippers, not because my feet stink. But these supposedly have some kind of odor resistance. Every night I pull them out, I smell them. I'm like, oh, it still smells great. So I'm there. I'm in my UGG slippers and my robe. And she did tell me I've got to start letting guests know that I have clothes on under my robe. We had a friend drop in last night at 7:30. I'm on the robe, propped up, my leg kind of hanging out a little bit. Because I have shorts on and a t-shirt. My leg's hanging out a little bit. And it looks like I'm just naked on the couch over there. just behind the robe. You know, anyway, she said, you got to start letting people know you're wearing shorts, okay? So I'm on the robe, in my robe, on the couch, relaxing. My son calls and said, I've had a wreck. Y'all need to get here. And we jumped up. I took that robe off, those slippers on, got some clothes on, and we took off. We were there as fast as we could get there. Praise God, he was okay. Here's the deal. I was more about, is he okay and the other people okay, than I was, is his truck okay? Who cares about that piece of junk? It's going to burn. Has he learned his lesson? Yeah, when a kid does that, they've learned their lesson generally. Yeah, he's going to pay the deductible. And yes, he's going to pay the ticket on it. But he is in full relationship with me. I'm his father in that moment. It's not time for me to bust his chops, right? And so I just want you to know, if you've got guilt, shame, any of those things you've carried as a believer, I want you to know him as everlasting father. And I'm going to pray that over you right now. God, I just pray that as we talk today, there are folks that carry guilt and shame. And we talked to one in between services that they carry guilt and shame sometimes for decades, and they've really never known you as everlasting father. I just pray you draw them in today. No matter what kind of lies are being whispered to them, I pray that truth and grace are screaming louder in their ears than whatever lies the devil tries to whisper to us. Amen. So some other reasons we wanted to reengage. I mean, the world and culture, if we don't talk about marriage as the church, please know our world and our culture is telling us about marriage every day. They're telling you, and they're telling you what to do. For instance, culture says you should probably live together a little while before you get married. That's what culture says, and I know I'm going to step on some toes here. It's called cohabitation. 70% of couples live together before they get married now. That's not within God's rhythm for relationship and marriage, okay? And so cohabitation, one of the reasons we know you have a much higher risk of divorce if you cohabitate prior to marriage. One of the reasons that it's so scary and such a damaging thing is because it gives you a very false sense of what marriage is going to be like. You see, when you get married, you're kind of in this, when you're in a relationship, at the beginning of the relationship, everything's pretty rosy, right? And then 5 to 7 years in, it typically has a little bit of it. Your marital satisfaction can wane. Let me just say that. And then if you'll stick it out through teenage years of your kids and the whole deal, it'll actually get better over time. Cohabitation enjoys the time when it's all rainbows and butterflies. And so your idea might be like, oh, great, I get to have passion and friendship. Wonderful. But the problem with cohabitation is there's no commitment there, right? Little stat you might also know about cohabitation. For those that cohabitate, for a woman who says, hey, I'm going to get out of that cohabitation relationship, she's almost always poverty level when she does that. Because they've combined finances. She signed up on his credit card. His name is all over her stuff. He ruins her credit. He's home playing video games all day. And now she's got bad credit. She's trying to go back to work. So there's all these just practical reasons you shouldn't cohabitate. And then it also makes it harder to step out of a relationship that you know is bad. So you start sensing that it's bad. Well, you're living together, all of this, it makes it very difficult to step out of that. Whereas if you're just dating and not living together, easier to step out of that if you know it's going south, right? So, I mean, but the culture that we're in says we should do that. I've had Christian parents sit with their kid that they want me to do premarital counseling and say, Jim, just to let you know, we've told them to go and move in together. They're getting married in about a year, but we're told them to go and move together because we want to make sure they're compatible. And these are Christian parents telling me this. And what I'm saying is you're not looking at God's word. Reengage, we want to look at God's word. And we want to make sure that the Heights is always forward with putting God's word out there. If we don't talk about God's word in every space, culture will try to fill it, okay? Culture will fill every space we don't occupy. And so, I also just want there to be a place where we continue this generational thing of talking about marriage in our church. Because one day my daughter, who led us in worship, my son, who had his little car accident, they may need to hear the truth from somebody. And maybe they move into a neighborhood somewhere and there's a little church with Reengage or a gospel-based marriage ministry. They can hear about how to help their marriage there. Maybe they feel hopeless. They've got a place to go. I want to continue that. I don't want the church to ever be silent about our marriages. So I've told you a lot of the reasons that I want you to do Reengage and want you to be a part of that. I've studied a lot of marketing, and what I've learned from marketing is when you do marketing, you always actually present the objections that people have to it and then try to dispute their objections. So I'm going to bring in a panel of leaders from our Reengage group. These are the ones that are young enough to still get up the steps. And we're going to talk about some of the reasons that people might not do Reengage and invite you into that conversation. And so we've got my wife Kelly, we've got Sean and Lissa angling over here, and then we have a guest celebrity. He's really not a guest. You see him in the coffee bar all the time, but his name is Andy California, and we're going to pretend he's a famous podcaster today, and he's interviewing us on a podcast, because some of you are more likely to listen to a podcast than something live nowadays. So we've got our famous podcast host, Andy California, here.
The famous podcast thing is not true. The California thing, sadly, is true. I got here as fast as I could, I promise. I see some of my re-engaged group sitting out there. As a couple who did our first re-engage last year and being new to the church, I had a lot of excuses. And to me, they weren't excuses. They were legit concerns and, you know, trepidations that I had. And a lot of these, some of you guys might be sharing too. So where we get started, the first one is a Sunday night is a family night for us. So coming to church for 16 weeks on Sunday night, it's just not going to be cohesive to our family night. So we have some things to talk about with that.
I would say, can you hear me? I would say, what are you actually doing on your family night? And are you really having a family night? Because we've definitely had that excuse before. We have little to no margin in our lives, and that's on us. Like, that's our fault. But when we do decide to quote-unquote rest or have a family night, it very much looks like Sean and I on the couch watching a Netflix show, and our kids are on their iPads watching their own shows. And so it doesn't really translate to true rest or true family time, I would say. So I would ask you to question, are you actually resting? Are you actually investing in your family? And could that time be used in a better way?
I think that same thing. We are so busy, but when we step back and we look at our week, there's so many missed opportunities that we have where our kids are home, or we can make that a family night rather than just saying, oh, Sunday night's going to be a family night because we don't have a lot of sports activities or whatever. But it very much doesn't turn out that way. And I would rather my kids see that we prioritize our marriage and that we're working on that and take advantage of those other opportunities throughout the week to invest in that family time.
The next one is Sunday nights are nights to rest and prepare for the week. I know Sunday night football is a big deal for us. Mm. I think Jim has something about that with breaks. Did you already talk about that?
With what now?
We get Super Bowl Sunday off.
Oh, we do.
Go Cowboys. Making that projection.
No way. We're not going to make you men go to re-engage on the Super Bowl. That would be torture, and we're not doing that, and that's ungodly.
So again, just to pose the excuse again, Sunday nights are our nights to rest and prepare for the week.
Just kind of like Kelly said, I feel like as parents, you know, we want all the opportunity for our children, and Sean and I grew up in a small town. There's a lot. Lubbock is the big city to us, and so our kids have the opportunity to do way more things than we did growing up, and so when they want to do chess club or they want to do swim team or something like that, our natural bent is to be like, yes, let's do that. That sounds awesome. But what happens is instead of teaching our kids what a marriage should look like and a relationship should look like, I'm spending more time figuring out who's going to get so-and-so to soccer practice, who's going to take so-and-so to violin, and I become more of a shuttle bus where my main role as their mom and as their parents is to teach these kids, like, this is what a healthy marriage looks like, this is what a healthy family looks like, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, me yelling at so-and-so because they're running late and they need their cleats because we're already late to practice.
And I know for a lot of us, Sunday nights are an opportunity to, like this says, prepare for the week. So, you know, make lunches or do laundry. Yes, doing laundry and making lunches on Saturday instead of Sunday night is an inconvenience, but divorce is inconvenient. Shipping your kids to your, you know, ex-wife or ex-husband's house on a Saturday is inconvenient. Telling your best friends that you're getting a divorce is inconvenient. So I guess pick your inconvenience wisely.
Yeah. Choose your hard, right? I mean, come for 16 weeks and work on that, or choose another type of hard, because it could be another type of hard. Yeah.
The next objection is, our marriage is in great shape. Why would we rock the boat? I was that guy. I told my wife, I said, I'd love to join a group. Let's do it. And we joined this, and I had no idea what re-engage was. And I quickly found out exactly what it was. And it ended up being really great for us, because I love my wife. We laugh, we joke, we argue, sure, but, you know, we're not broken. wrong. This program is so much more about fixing who you are as a person and your relationship with Christ than it is trying to fix the person you love next to you. That's not what this is about at all. So we'll dive into a little more about our marriage is in great shape. Why would we want to rock the boat?
I think it's a great example to say, you know, I mean, would you say, hey, I'm really good friends with this person, so there's no need to go hang out with them. You know, there's no need to go call Andrew and go hang out with him because we're good buddies. You know, I don't need to do that. So I think that's kind of the same mentality is if your marriage is in great shape, then, yeah, then come because I promise you someone in that group is going to need some words of advice that you may be able to give or just some friendship, just someone to be there.
Well, and I think, you know, I love being married. I think we have a great marriage. I think it is not always easy, for sure. It's hard.
I couldn't be married to Jim.
No.
Me neither.
You like to pet my plush robe.
But, you know, I think both of us came from Christian homes, and we grew up in church, and we both have, my parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary last week. His parents have been married. I think there was this assumption for me that we would just get married and be married happily ever after, and it was just going to be immediate wedded bliss. And what I found out very quickly is that marriage is hard, and it takes a lot of work. And so we were so, God was so good. He is so good. But when we first got married and we were looking for a church home, I think you may have mentioned this, but we started with a young Sunday school class. On that Sunday, somebody saw us and invited us, and we went, and we were with other young couples, but we had teachers that were a little bit ahead of us. And we studied the Bible together, but we also looked at that what that looks like in marriage. And so we had some of those tools. And so over the last 25 years, we've had to draw on those tools. And also, God continues to give us opportunity that we take action on and or have been a part of different ministry things because I want to be prepared for when that crisis hits or when that conflict hits. And we enjoyed it. Like, we found early on in our marriage that we really enjoyed working on our marriage. It means a lot to me that Jim is willing to work on our marriage. It's a big part of our life. We make decisions together. We have to communicate every single day. And so
about dinner and things.
About dinner and about kids and all trips, all those things, and work and trying to find that balance. And so it's important to me that our marriage is important to him. And we end up having a lot of fun together, like learning about our marriage. And our God turned that prayer into let our marriage glorify him. And that's what we want to do. And so not only with Reengage do we get to work on our marriage consistently, but I feel like we get to pour into other couples and like people poured into us. And then I'll add, I know I'm talking a lot, but the other thing is our kids know that marriage is work, and they know that it's important to us. They know that we do Reengage. They know that we're constantly working on that. The other thing is our kids live in our home and see the struggles that we have, and they see the rides to church when they were younger, and the worst fights happened on the way to church, you know, and we're screaming and yelling, and they have now seen us draw from those tools, and they've seen us forgive each other, and they've seen us, you know, just able to work that. So, like, I want them to know when they get married, as they're getting older and thinking about those things, I want them to know it's not going to be immediate bliss. You're going to have to work at it, and they know that it's important to us. So.
The next one is our marriage is hopeless, and I think that's such a unique word for us Christians to use because, you know, if anything, we all have the hope in Christ. And you know, if we're all going to sit in this room and say we believe in Jesus and he died on the cross for our sins and we're forgiven, that's hopeful, right? We have hope in that. But if we're all going to sit here and say, well, my marriage is hopeless, it's over, it's what's the point? You know, we can't have that attitude as Christians. So there's a couple of verses I think Jim will dive into and look at here.
Well, I know that just for me, if you think it's hopeless, it's probably because Satan has got you right where he wants you. I mean, he would love for you to believe that your marriage is hopeless, that your life is hopeless, and he'd love for you to keep chanting that over and over. Again, if it's hopeless, what do you have to lose than to come to Reengage 16 times? But my goodness, if you've read the God of this Bible, my goodness, you should know it's not hopeless, that Jesus does things that you would never believe. You'd never believe if you've read this, and so it's not hopeless. there's a couple that basically said that it was hopeless, and I asked them, I reached out to them and just got a quote from them. They did this with us because they said, we don't want to do this because it's kind of over for us. And here's what they said. They said, Reengage saved our marriage. We had been living like roommates with no real effort being made by either of us. Reengage taught us to love one another through the eyes of God. As we learned this new love, our relationship grew stronger with God and each other. Reengage taught us the language to productively communicate. Before, communication was a struggle. Things would happen, and we would yell and argue without ever getting to the root of the issue. Reengage taught us to work on ourselves instead of always trying to fix the other person. We're now better realizing our responsibility and the issues that arise. They became members of our church and have been pretty faithful, and we've remained connected to them. And Reengage is something that they say saved their marriage. So it's not hopeless.
And then the final objection is, we don't want to air out our dirty laundry. And don't get me wrong, my wife and I, believing that we had a great marriage, I heard some things, and I was like, whoa. Wow, like, okay, we would get in the car and say, you know, thank God that isn't us. But then there were other Sundays that it happened to be us that were sharing those hard things. And I want to assure you guys that, you know, as the leaders, there's confidentiality, because once you start to get cohesion in your group, it's not about, you know, me being better or my marriage being better than someone else's. It's more about, we're a group of people being vulnerable and open and sharing some things that are hard to share. But I think a big thing, I talked to a gentleman after the first service, and he's like, man, you know, I can't share what I've done in my past. Those people would judge me, and I would, you know, lose their respect. And my first thought is, man, if that's how we feel about our church, that's not a good place to be. But two, a lot of this work you do in the book was between me and God. And I wrote down a lot of stuff in this book that I shared only with my wife, and there were things I shared with my group, but we can't feel scared because we've all fallen short. We've all, you know, come short of the glory of God. We can't be afraid to share things with one another, because at the end of the day, the point of this is to re-engage our relationship with God and our partner.
Yeah, and I think something you alluded to earlier, and Jim said it a few weeks ago, but choose your hard. I mean, marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. And so is re-engage. I mean,
you know? It's fun sometimes too, though.
But it's a good hard, and it's hard because it's 16 weeks. It's hard because you have to be vulnerable. But I said this in the first service: if we're sitting in this room and we're not willing to be vulnerable with each other and be vulnerable with Jesus, then what are we doing? You know, go get brunch on Sunday mornings. I mean, that's going to be a better way to spend your time, because Jesus was vulnerable, and this verse, Matthew 26:38. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's facing the cross. He knows what's coming, and he looks at his disciples, and he says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And that last sentence, I just kind of prayed that. I just felt like God was putting that on my heart, like, stay here and keep watch with me. And I think that's what Reengage is about. Like, the couples that are before you, we're staying here, we're going to keep watch with you. We're going to walk with you over these 16 weeks and forward. And our goal is to walk with you. And that will not happen without vulnerability. That will not happen without honesty between you and God, you and your spouse, and you and your re-engaged group. But it is hard. It is hard. But choose your hard.
I'm going to let the panel kind of go, and we're going to deal with this kind of last objection of airing out your dirty laundry as they run off. And I want to leave you with a story. I'll leave you the story, then we'll play a little Reengage promo video. It'll take a couple minutes, and Mike will close us out. But that idea of I don't want to air my dirty laundry is a concerning thing to me, because it is the objection I hear most. And it's something I've heard. I'll have people that won't do Reengage, and then about halfway through Reengage, they'll call and want to go have coffee with me, and I'll say, why didn't you do Reengage with us? Why, we could have helped you with some of this. And they say, well, I don't want to air out my dirty laundry in front of my friends at church. And I'll read you this story from Luke 7:36-50. It's called A Sinful Woman Forgiven in a lot of your Bibles. And it says, Jesus was having dinner with a Pharisee, basically. It says, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. I don't know if he was wearing a plush robe or not. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. Oh, Simon, here comes, brother. And then Jesus goes on to tell this parable, and he says, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. She gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You see, this woman, when she encountered Jesus, she wasn't worried about them thinking she was a sinner. She was worried about what Jesus offered. And for so many of us, my concern about when you're saying, I don't want to air my dirty laundry, is you have bought cultural Christianity. You may not have a relationship with the Jesus of the Bible. You have a relationship that your culture has said you need to have because maybe that's what your friends had or your parents said they had or whatever. You said, I'll come to church and I want to have cultural Christianity because in the Bible Belt, you have a higher social status if you're a cultural Christian than you would if you didn't. It makes things easier. You get to have more friends. Your business might even do a little bit better. My concern is if you're a cultural Christian and you haven't met the Jesus that I've met, that you don't even know what this woman experienced when she came and laid her sins in front of him and washed his feet. So my call to you today would be, where are you? Are you at a place where you're vulnerable with people, whether that's in life group or reengage or men's Bible study or wherever that is? Or are you someone that hides it? God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And if you're someone who's consistently hidden, I need you to really dig into your relationship with Christ and say, where did that come from? Can you help me? Because at some point, you've made it more about your appearance and not glorifying God through what he's done for us. So we'll play a little video. We will be, this QR code will take you to a sign up for Reengage, how conveniently. And then outside where the orange banner is, we'll be waiting there to handle any kind of questions you might have or help you with any kind of decisions you want to make about Reengage.
We came to Reengage because we had become roommates.
We were looking forward to learning some new things to help improve our marriage.
There was an infidelity and a pornography addiction that she wasn't aware of.
We were headed for divorce.
We heard it was a safe place to reconnect with your spouse.
I had an affair and I was ready to leave my family for it.
We were in a downward spiral in our marriage.
We were just constantly fighting.
The first time we walked into Reengage, I actually felt hope.
I was just very nervous to see what was going to be revealed.
I felt, finally, this is a place where I do not have to pretend.
This class would require sharing and transparency, which was not something that I was used to.
I really didn't want to tell people about what was going on in our marriage.
I was very fearful. Being an atheist, I had never willingly walked into a church.
And I was so grateful as we walked in that there were people there to greet us that were so kind.
The first time I walked into Reengage, I felt hope and peace.
It was the first time I had ever heard people talk about really hard things they had been through and also hear that it could be okay.
One of the biggest things I realized was that I was the biggest problem in our marriage, not my spouse.
I had blocked out feelings, not only from my wife, but also from myself.
We did an amazing job sweeping conflict under the rug, which over the years just resulted in resentment and mistrust.
Terry and I have been married for 19 years, and there are still areas that we can improve on.
One of the biggest things I realized going through Reengage was how God's word came alive.
God actually had designed marriage.
Our Reengage couples poured love into us and accepted us without any expectation.
And there was a true desire to understand and not necessarily judge what I was doing.
One of the things I liked about Reengage was being able to share our story, talk about it freely in a safe environment.
Now our marriage is characterized as one full of love and grace.
Our marriage is characterized by putting Christ at the center.
Daily prayers. a lot of laughter.
It's not perfect, but our disagreements are now opportunities.
If you're considering coming to Reengage, the one thing I would want you to know is that you will be surprised at the relationships that you'll build there.
It's worth giving God an opportunity to come in to your marriage.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org, and we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.